You'll open your Bibles with me. We read the Word of God in Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a high, strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. For Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Our text is the last half of verse 5. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. May the Lord bless the preaching of His Word. Beloved in our Lord, King David wrote this psalm. King David was in distress. He was exiled from his own land by his own son, Absalom. He's on the other side of the Jordan, away from the land proper. He's away from the tabernacle. He's away from all that he loved. And he cries to the Lord. And the eyes of the Lord are always upon the righteous. And the ears of the Lord are always open to their cries. Yes, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. This psalm is very small, but how precious it is. It's the heartthrob of the child of God. He knows and he loves and he serves the Lord, and he asks the Lord now to be with him and to preserve his life. This psalm has been entitled, The Prayer and Thanksgiving of an Exiled King on the Way Back to His Throne. And David speaks here, doesn't he, as a type of the Lord Jesus. Yes, David is exiled from his own land by his son Absalom, who hates him, who wants the throne. And he's exiled because of his own sins, isn't he? His own sins have brought this trouble upon himself. But he cries out with a certain knowledge that his throne will be established forever. That was the Lord's promise. And how David is a type of Christ Jesus. He too was exiled, wasn't he? He was cast out of the city, an outcast. Not because of his own sins, but because of our sins that were put upon him. But Jesus Christ went to the cross. He suffered and died with that certainty that his throne is forever. That the Lord hears the cry of the righteous. He would not allow his soul to remain in Sheol forever. But he would raise them up. David has a very lively hope. Why? And verse 5 really spells it out. It's the work of God in him. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. We're going to look at that part of the text under the theme, a goodly heritage. a goodly heritage, notice first of all what the heritage is. Second of all, what it involves. They are those that fear thy name. And then thirdly, we look at the very beginning of that part of the verse, who? The one who bestows this heritage upon his people. Thou hast given me the heritage. And that noun, the heritage, comes from a verb which means to give. So we could put other words in there. Thou hast given to me a possession. Or thou hast given to me an inheritance. Thou hast given me a property. Thou hast given me a portion. And what is that portion? Oh, that same word, portion, is used in Psalm 11. But in Psalm 11, it's speaking there about the portion of the wicked. We read in Psalm 11, verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. But over against the portion, that which belongs to the wicked, the portion that belongs to God's people, is a good inheritance. Psalm 136 speaks of that inheritance. We read in Psalm 136, verses 21 and 22, and he gave their land, that is the land of Og and of Sihon, he gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. So what is this heritage that is given? David is sitting there on the other side of the Jordan, outside of Israel proper, the land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan Sea. He's exiled, but he looks and he says, yet even though I was exiled because of my son, I have a heritage given to me. I have that land, the land of Jesse, that belongs to me. And of course, that land, we all know, is so important because it is a type of our possession. It is a type of heaven. The land of Canaan is a picture of heaven, the land that we will dwell in one day in our Lord Jesus Christ. And why was David given that land? Why was Israel given that land? And the answer is because God claims David as his child. God claims Israel as his peculiar people, his possession. That's why he gives them the land, because they are his. That's why heaven will be ours, because we are his. This morning you sat at the communion table. You partook of Jesus Christ's broken body and shed blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And in Christ Jesus, we have a wonderful inheritance given to us, because we are Christ's, that inheritance is ours. So what is that heritage? Thou hast given to me a heritage of those that fear thy name. That is the heritage. We are God's people. That was the heritage of David. He was a child of God. That was the heritage of Israel. They were the people of God, chosen by God, redeemed by God. That is our heritage. What a rich heritage it is. You and I, given by God to Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, were pilgrims and strangers in this world, like Israel was wandering in the wilderness, waiting for that home that would be given, the land of Canaan. Heaven is ours. What a heritage it is. to be God's people. And to God's people, He shows His favor and His love. To His people, He would reveal Himself day by day, wouldn't He? When they were going through the wilderness, it was by fire leading them during day and a bright light at night. He gave them the covenant. He gave them all the types and the shadows, that tabernacle, the dwelling of God in the midst of His people, that Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat and the wings of the cherubim over it dripped with blood. What a rich heritage came to them because they were the people of God. And I want you to pause for a moment and think of the rich heritage that you and I possess. Because God has claimed us as His people. He has made us His people by the blood of Jesus Christ. What is given to us? All the rich promises of God's Word. Given to us is Himself in Christ Jesus, the Savior. Given to us is the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance or of our heritage. Given to us is the adoption of sons and daughters, as we read in the baptismal form. Given unto us is the hope of everlasting life. Though our life might be very short here in the world, temporary, it might be filled with trials and troubles, we have a home that's waiting for us. That is a priceless heritage. That means it cannot be bought. It does not come because of our works or our worth. David has this heritage not because of he is such a wonderful person. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart, but God gave this heritage to him not because he had a heart for God, but because God chose David as His child. Therefore, God gave him a heart for the Lord. Israel has this heritage, Deuteronomy chapter 7, not because they're such a great nation. So we read there, they're the fewest of all the nations on the earth. But it's because the Lord loved them that He gave that heritage. And that is true for us. We have a priceless heritage. It cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. It is freely given to us. All of the grace of God. And that means, beloved, in our applicatory sermon, we should be singing. We should be singing every day about the grace of the Lord. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Grace that subdues all of our sins and washes them away. Makes us children of God. Freely given by God's sovereign choice of us. It's called a heritage. It's called an inheritance because no person obtains it by his own good works. For no man lives in such a way in order to earn it. Freely given in Jesus Christ. And what that means then, thirdly, beloved, is that this is a heritage that should be cherished by you and me. We are but unprofitable servants. We don't deserve it. David didn't deserve this goodness of God to him, that he would be returned again to the land, that he would again receive the throne. He had sinned grievously. But it's God's grace. Cherish that heritage, that you have been chosen to be the people of God. That you have been redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you are indwelt with His Holy Spirit. That you are sons and daughters of God. That you've been placed in this church with these confessions. What a rich heritage. What a tremendous heritage is given to us. What do you do with it? Boys and girls, do you remember the Old Testament figure of Esau? Esau was the firstborn. To Esau belonged the birthright. But did he cherish it? And the answer is no. No, rather than cherishing it, he says, what good will it do if I perish? And so he trades it for a lousy bowl of pottage. A heritage has been entrusted to us. A heritage, Tom, has been entrusted to you and to your children. A heritage to be known and to be loved and to be enjoyed. A heritage to be kept. Ask the question, who am I? Who are you? Sinners? Yes, we are sinners, just as David was a sinner. But by the grace of God, we're redeemed sinners. By the grace of God, we are God's children, sons and daughters. His prized possession, those whom He dearly loves. Isn't that wonderful that our worship services begin with those very words, Sunday morning and Sunday evening? We come out of our past week with all of our sins and shortcomings, and what is the first thing the Lord says to us? You know, boys and girls or young people, if you do something wrong and you come home and you're almost got your tail hanging between your legs, you're saying, uh-oh, what's Dad going to say to me when I'm coming in late again or I did this? But what does our God say to us as sons and daughters? The first thing at the beginning of the week, beloved. That's God speaking to us. I love you in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. That's who we are by the grace of God. Sinners, yes, but redeemed sinners, loved by God, His special possession. We read in Ephesians 1 verse 14, the Spirit is called the earnest of our inheritance, that Spirit dwelling in us so that we know that we're sons and daughters of God. Colossians 1 verse 12, we read, the apostle exhorting the believers there, give thanks to the Father who has made them meet, that is, fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a treasure. What a possession. What a heritage. And David makes it very personal here, doesn't he? Thou hast given to me the heritage of those that fear the Lord. May it be personal for you and me. What exactly is this heritage? What does it mean to be the people of God, possessed by God, dwelling in God, loving the Lord? What does it mean? Thou hast given to me the heritage of those who fear thy name. And in that phrase then, what is important is that name of God. In catechism, boys and girls, you learn that God has many names. He has many names that He reveals Himself by because His attributes are many and His works are many. One name cannot contain all of His worth and His greatness. And Jesus Christ has a multitude of names in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has various different names. And now He says, Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. The name of God. We know that name. We know that name because He has personally revealed that name to us. Yes, it's here in the Scripture, but the Holy Spirit makes that a living word in our hearts, doesn't it? So that when we take those names on our lips, we're able to call upon the Lord, and we're able to witness about the Lord, and we're able to sing praise to His name. Thou hast given to me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Notice that word, those. We're not an island. We're not standing all by ourselves. But God has chosen for Himself a church. God has chosen for Himself a great number, a great company of saints. From the beginning of the world to the very end of the world. And we are part of that great chorus. Those who fear the Lord's name. A great company of which no man can count the number, for it is such a great company. What does it mean that we fear God's name? It means that we stand in reverence. Boys and girls, that word fear today has other connotations, doesn't it? The word fear has the connotation of being afraid, frightened. And well might the wicked be frightened from God, for the Bible says He is a consuming fire. And the portion for the wicked is a terrible portion. But that is not the fear of those who belong to the Lord, whom He has chosen for a possession. Rather, the fear that the psalmist is speaking about is that filial love. And by the word filial, I mean, boys and girls, that love of little children toward their parents. Dad loves me. Dad cares for me. Dad will protect me. Dad will always take care of me. And that is the love, that is the awe, that is the respect, that is the reverence. And therefore, that is the worship that we now give to our God. Because He has made us His possession, He gives us that grace that we return His love. We live for Him. We obey Him. Those that fear the Lord's name, it's a covenantal relationship, isn't it? That's what I hope you see in our text. That's our possession. When He has made us His people, those who fear His name, He is a God unto us and we are His children. He speaks to us. He pours out His heart to us. And with His Spirit within us, we are able to respond in song and in praise and in prayer. A covenant a relationship. God with His people. God has said that. We have heard that this morning. I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee in their generations. To be the people of God, those that fear the Lord, that is an antithetical position, isn't it? God has placed His church, He has placed us in this world, not to be of the world, but to be in the world as a shining light. And following the Lord, loving the Lord, serving the Lord is going to bring opposition. It's going to bring hatred. It's going to bring ridicule. Jesus said that, didn't He? If they hate the Master, they will hate those who follow the Master. We must expect it. And now, living in the world, we don't conduct ourselves as the world does, but rather we live as children of God. We testify to His greatness and His glory. And what does that mean in our lives? Saying yes to the Lord means saying all the time no also, doesn't it? Saying yes to the Lord means saying no to myself, my sinful nature.
Saying yes to the Lord means saying no to the lies of Satan. Saying yes to the Lord means saying no to the world around here that says there's other gods that you could serve. Why? Because we are the people of God. We read in Job 28, verse 28, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of God, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." You see, they go hand in hand. Saying yes to the Lord and yes to His Word, to His commandments, means saying no to sin, to our sinful nature, to the world, to the devil. What blessings flow to us because God has chosen us as His people. He has made us those people. He gives us the grace that we can recognize sin for what it is by His Word, and we may flee from it. We may hate it with all of our hearts. We may fight against it. Yes, flee sin if you love the Lord. The Lord says, "He who loves me keeps my commandments." We need to be like, boys and girls, Joseph, do you remember him? Sold as a slave, down there in Egypt, apparently all alone. And yet when Potiphar's wife tries to entice him, he flees away, because saying yes to his God means saying no to sin. "Shall I do this great evil against the Lord?" he says. Or Daniel in Babylon. Stop praying just for a little while. Oh, Daniel could have pussyfooted around it. He could have maybe set his prayers silently and not by a window or closed the doors. But no, openly, he goes to the window, he faces Jerusalem, and he says his prayers morning and evening and night. Why? Because he fears the Lord. And he was willing to have his life demonstrate that, show it, even if it meant his being thrown into the fiery furnace or to the lion's den. What does being a child of God mean, to fear the Lord? It means, oh beloved, it means daily conversion. I'm not my own, and I surely don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to the world. I belong to Jesus Christ. It means daily. We turn away from sin and we are turned to Christ and to His Word. That is the thanks that God deserves for what He has given to us in Jesus Christ, right? His body was broken, His blood was shed. What shall we render to the Lord? A godly life God is pleased with. Those that fear the Lord. Oh, never perfectly. Never perfectly will we obey the Lord, do all of His commandments. But there's a beginning. There's a small beginning, isn't there? And there we see God's grace. There we see the work of the Holy Spirit in us, that there is the desire to walk in His commandments. The one who fears the Lord is the one who keeps His commandments. If we say that we love God, oh, that's easy to say with the lips, isn't it? If we say that we love the Lord, we will keep His commandments. God's people, in the midst of a crooked generation, a light in the midst of darkness. David was that kind of servant of God. Yes, he had his failures, terrible failures in his life, but he had a heart for God. And God blesses that. God is pleased by that. God's people were called to live that holy life in the Old Testament, and the Lord would chastise them again and again until they would turn away from their wickedness and serve Him. And God is pleased today with a church that doesn't merely have praises on their lips and then live like the world. God is pleased with His people when they live antithetically as God's people in the midst of the wicked nations of the world. Thou hast given to me the heritage of those that fear, that love, that stand in awe of God's name. And before we conclude with this text, we need to look at the one who gives all this. David says, Thou hast given me the heritage. He didn't say, Lord, I chose to be your disciple. Lord, I chose to follow you. It was given to him. And that is the idea of a heritage or an inheritance, isn't it? An inheritance is that which is freely given. We don't deserve it. When parents pass away, they often leave an inheritance behind for their children. And hopefully it also includes a hefty inheritance also given to the church. But he leaves an inheritance behind that means the children may not fight and squabble and say, I earned this or it's coming to me. The parents could have given their money completely to something else. It is freely given. Well, child of God, that is precisely our position in the world. Why are we children of God? Why are we members of the Protestant Reformed Church? Why are you members of this congregation? All of the Lord, Thou hast given to me the heritage of those who fear Thy name. Given to you and to me by sovereign election. Before any of us were born, before the world was even made, God knew each one of us. He knew us by name. He loved us. And that's why He gave us to Jesus Christ. We are this peculiar treasure of God because He has chosen us and because, second of all, He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us with the precious blood of His Son. Oh, what a gift that was given to you and me. That word redeem has the idea of paying a ransom, of paying a price. That is how one is set free from sin, set free to serve God with a price. And what a price God paid to His justice. He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, to suffer in our place, taking our death, our sin, our guilt. We are that peculiar possession, the people of God. Thirdly, because Jesus Christ has redeemed us by His blood, has given us His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And that Spirit of Christ enables us to deny the old man of sin and to live in newness of life. It's that Spirit of Christ that sanctifies us day and day progressively. And the question for you and me to answer is, do I see that? Do I see that progression in my life? Do I pray for that? And then do I give thanks to God? Things that I once would have thought were okay or might have done, I no longer would do. Because the Spirit has brought the Word, and the Word continues to teach me the greatness of God and the greatness of my sin and the calling that comes to us. We are those who fear the name of the Lord, fourthly, because the Lord works in the line of generations, doesn't He? The Lord doesn't just come and save an individual here and an individual there and there another individual, but the Lord works in the lines of generations, both in the church but also on mission fields. God uses godly parents and godly grandparents to teach, to instruct, to bring up their children in the nurture and the fear of the Lord. How beautiful it is to see another child given to a godly family. How wonderful in another week or two when you're going to see those young people that were once baptized, having been catechized, having been in Christian schools, having been raised, now standing up in the midst of God's people, confessing Christ Jesus and confessing a love for the church. God's faithfulness. God has worked that in the line of generations. David says, Thou hast given to me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Now you'll notice in our King James Bible, the word me is italics. In other words, it's really not there in the original text. But it's a good commentary, isn't it? David is able to speak for his own life, and you and I, by the grace of God, can also take this text and we can put our name in there. Thou hast given to me, and you put your name now there. Thou hast given to me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. And Tom and Shauna, as you teach your children, you put their names in there. The Lord has given to Aaron or to Justin, or, and the names go on. Heritage of those that fear Thy name. How wonderful that our children can be raised with that kind of knowledge. We belong to the Lord. And because we belong to the Lord, then we make vows, don't we? That's the beginning of verse 5. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. And then again in verse 8, so I will sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. We belong to the Lord, and therefore we make vows. Tom and Shauna, you have made that vow this evening. We will bring up our children in the aforesaid doctrines to the best of our ability. We make vows when we get married that we will abide as husband and wife together for as long as the Lord gives us life. We make vows together that we will serve the Lord and Him alone. It's because of God's grace that He has made us His people that we are able to make those vows and then keep those vows. Home tonight. Go home and cherish this text. The Lord, Jehovah, the covenant God, has given to us the heritage of those that fear the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for Thy grace that has chosen us. We thank Thee for Thy grace that has redeemed us. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Spirit who indwells us. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy promise. In the lines of our generation, Thou wilt raise up Thy church and bless her. O Lord, we cherish then Thy church. We rejoice in who we have been made by Thy grace, Thy people. With a rich heritage. Amen.